Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we have been throughout most of the summer, we continue walking our way through the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And so this morning we wish to focus our attention on the sixth petition, "Lead us not into temptation." A while back, I actually had that cap. And in case you can't read what it says, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find it myself." I see the smiles. It's one of those things that was kind of humorous. I added it to my collection for a while, because as you and I think about life, and as you and I think about how you and I go through life, we don't really need anybody to show us temptation. We've got a pretty good knack of finding it all by ourselves. I don't have that cap anymore. And partly that is because as you go through life, what made it funny to begin with means it's not so funny anymore. Because as you go through life, you begin to notice all the different times when I went looking for temptation. I put myself in a situation where there was some temptation. I put myself in a spot where there was the temptation to leave God behind and do the exact opposite of the second lesson, to take off the new self and put back on the old self that was taken off at my baptism. And when I see what those temptations do, it really isn't all that funny anymore. No wonder our Lord and our Savior then encourages us in this prayer that he teaches to us, to go to our Lord and go to our God and pray this very important petition, "Lead us not into temptation." As you and I take a look at what we pray for, we focus our attention on these words. Once again, you've got the insert in your service folder. James 1, verses 13 through 15. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' because God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is dragged away and enticed by his own desire. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Lead us not into temptation. God is not the source of temptation. God is our strength during temptation. As we think about those two ideas, guided by James, we think about that first one. God is not the source of temptation. We know that we're going to be tempted. James simply acknowledges that when he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted." He doesn't say if. He says when. Those things are going to come. But what exactly is temptation? I'm taking the boxes in the diagram a little bit out of order, but it still flows as we think about what James has to say. Temptation is any situation in which we are led to false belief. Temptation tries to yank and pull us away from our Lord and our God and get us to believe something other than what he says. False belief could take all kinds of different forms. The three lessons that you and I had for this morning give us one example, the false belief that the things that you and I have in life, the things that we can amass in this world, that is what is important. You gotta have the bigger barns, and you have to have the huge inheritance, and you have to have all of these things. And we forget that they are blessings, and we begin to think that they're rights. And our entire life begins to revolve around that lie that says, the more I have, the better off I am. And the more I have, the less I need God. There's always temptation. Satan loves taking God's blessings, no matter what it is, and turning it into something that tries to pull us from God. False belief could be false doctrine. A teaching that doesn't stand on the Scriptures, that doesn't stand on what God reveals in His Word, and gets us to believe something different than what God has to say. So anything that leads us to not listen to God, listen to something else or someone else, that would fall under false belief. Temptation is any situation in which we are led to despair. As soon as Satan gets you to think about that false belief, then he loves to take you right into despairs. He talked you into believing the lie. You really think God can forgive you? You really think that God's going to overlook that? Wash that one away? And then there is that temptation to think that I can't be forgiven, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love, and now I'm just on my own, floundering around in my own abilities or lack thereof. Temptation wants to pull us from God and lead us into that hopeless, helpless despair. Temptation is also any situation that leads us to great or shameful sin. Something is thrown out there, some person is there, and leads you into, well, pick a commandment, leads you into idolatry, leads you into adultery, leads you into stealing, leads you into making fun of somebody else and wrecking their reputation, whatever the sin ends up being. Temptation leads you to try to go against the will of God and do your own thing. So when someone is tempted, those things are going to be there. Temptations to set God and His will and His ways aside and do something else. Where do these temptations come from? James helps us answer that question, but each person is tempted when he is dragged away and enticed by his own desire. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. God is not the source of temptation. Our own sinful desires are. The things I want, the things I think, the way I think it ought to be. I had a bad experience, so now I'm going to change what God has to say. And it's interesting how James uses this picture of being born, conception, being born, growing, as he talks about what sin does. Desire, that's sort of like conception. This idea is there. You can't see it yet, but it's there. And as that idea gets planted into your mind, and as you mull that over and you keep thinking about it, even if you haven't acted on it yet, even if it hasn't led you to actually do anything yet, that desire is now the temptation beginning to entice, drag, pull. And as long as that desire keeps mulling around, eventually it gives birth to sin. Finally, pick a commandment, and now you can see someone acting on the desire. And if that sin keeps on growing, eventually the only thing that can happen is death. Because that's what happens when there is sin. Sin is worthy of death. Sin has to be separated from the Holy God, and the only way to do that is through that eternal death that comes. It is our own desires that lead to those temptations. And of course, Satan is right there, needling us on, pushing us along. And of course, the world is right there, cheering us on as well, reminding us of all the things that it thinks and it says and how it says things ought to happen. It is the devil, the world, and our own sinful natures. Those things are the source of temptation. God is not the source. And yet it is pretty popular to blame Him. We kind of like blaming God. He made me this way. This is just how I am. I've got this tendency. I've got this idea. I've got this history. I've got whatever it is that we want to throw out there. And we tell God that then this must be His fault. The evil has to come from Him because I'm just acting the way that I'm made to act. Therefore, I'm not the source of evil. And it's not really a sin because God made me this way. His fault. Why did He do that? Why would a God allow such a thing to take place? Why would He allow that disaster? Why would He allow that catastrophe? Why would He allow someone to create such havoc and harm? If that's the kind of God that's out there, then I don't want anything to do with Him because obviously God is out there to get us. That's blaming Him, claiming that He's the source of temptation and that somehow He's the one who's trying to get at us and cause problems. There is only so much I can handle, and I reached that limit yesterday. God ought to know that. He ought to know what I can take. He ought to know what I can handle, and He's just piling it on. I don't know how much more of this I can handle. God, I don't care what you have to say. This is just simply wrong. And we blame Him. I tried it God's way once. Didn't work. Can't be my fault. Must be His fault. So now I'm going to try it the world's way instead of His way. All of those are just more temptations, right? Fueled by our own desires, because I want to be in control. I want to decide what's going on. I want to call the shots. Satan is right there pushing me along. The world is adding its voice to make it sound good and right. And all it is just another temptation, a situation that leads us to false belief, despair, and great and shameful sin. And while it may be popular to blame God, it's not new. Adam and Eve did it. Sinners have been doing it throughout history. God's not the source of temptation. But since it is popular to blame Him, and since that's what the natural sinful tendency is to do, no wonder Jesus gave us this prayer. No wonder He included it in this special prayer that you and I are to say regularly and often. God is not the source of temptation. And so instead of blaming Him, we go running to Him. God is our strength during temptation. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Because God cannot be tempted by evil. And He Himself tempts no one. Evil and God don't go together. God is not the source of evil. God can't be tempted by evil. In fact, James says He's the untempted one. Evil doesn't trip Him up because He is holy and perfect and just and right. He's not the one trying to get you to fall. He is not the one throwing things at you just to see how you're going to handle them and see if you stumble and see if you trip. In fact, the exact opposite. He's not the one trying to get you to fall. He's the one who's there to pick you up when you fall. That's why God the Father sent God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit comes in word and baptism and in the supper to tell us all about it. Jesus stepped into your world, stepped into your life. And the letter to the Hebrews tells us that He was tempted just as we are. He gets it. He understands what temptation is. He understands the pull to go against God's will and ways. Satan went after Him hard. Satan knew that if he could get Jesus to fall, he'd have the entire world to himself. Jesus got temptation, yet was without sin. There's your perfection. There is where you find that robe of righteousness that gets draped over you at your baptism. And there is where you get credit for everything that Jesus, your substitute, did in His life. Now when God the Father looks at you, He sees Jesus. And He sees someone who, whenever the temptations do come, go running to Him for strength and perfectly fighting them all off. That's what Jesus did for you when He lived in your place. And then He was willing to take the times we did fall and the times that we did sin, and He paid the price. He took that absolutely perfect life that didn't deserve to die, went to that cross so that you and I who do deserve to die can live forever with Him in the glories of heaven. There is your salvation. There is your forgiveness. In Christ you see His perfect life given to you. There you see His death, which takes your sin away. You now stand innocent and just and righteous in God's sight. He's not the one trying to get you to fall. He sent Jesus to pick you up when you do fall. And so rather than blaming Him, we go running to Him. God is our strength during temptation. That means God can keep the temptations away. In His will and in His wisdom, He often does that. There may be some temptation out there, and He just makes sure that it never even gets your way. Perhaps you see how other people have fallen, and you see examples of temptations of others, and you didn't have to go through that. That's not because you're so strong, necessarily. but because God in His amazing grace kept it away. But there will be temptations. As long as we are on this side of heaven, they are not all going to be kept away. When those temptations do come, that's when we go running to our Lord and we go running to our God, and He's the one who can give us the strength to overcome them. To shift our sights away from my own desires and that snowball effect that could come as desire leads to sin and then finally leads to the action, but shift our focus to Him. Go back to that cross. Go back to that empty tomb. Go back to that risen Lord and Savior. Focus your attention on the one who gives you the strength to fight off whatever temptation it is that's trying to drag you away, that's trying to make sin look so nice and make it taste so good. He's the strength when those enticements come. Lead us not into temptation. God's not the source of temptation. God is our strength during temptation. And so we pray, help us so that we are not overcome by situations that might lead us into sin. Rather than us blaming God, the Father blamed the Son. Your Savior is the one who taught you this prayer. The one who gets it. The one who knows what you need. The one who knows if you're at the end of your rope or almost there or if you reached it yesterday. The one who knows how strong temptation can be. He's the one who teaches you to pray this. Your Savior is also the one who hears it. We go to Him, our brother, the one who lived and died and rose for us. He's the one who hears our cries. He's the one who listens to those prayers. He's the one who answers those prayers. He is our strength during temptation. You don't need any more strength than that. Amen.